Brendan O'Connor on RTE Radio 1 with Allcare Pharmacy. Sign up to our loyalty programme and reap the rewards at Allcare Pharmacy, Ireland's largest community pharmacy network.
Brendan O'Connor on RTE Radio 1.
You're all very welcome back. And James Patrice was there, was just talking about boredom, actually. And sometimes it can feel that boredom is the enemy. We're constantly being told that you have to fight boredom with productivity, to be stimulated with something, anything other than letting yourself get bored. But is the rush to fill the void a good one, or is a little bit of boredom good for us at all? Chartered work and coaching psychologist Alicia Redmond-McGrath is here to talk us through the hindrances as well as the hidden benefits of a little bit of boredom. You're very, very welcome.
Thank you.
Listen, first of all, I suppose even how do we even define boredom? Like, I mean, is it something that is fairly abnormal, or is it something that is normal and that we should embrace?
It can exist, I guess, a little bit on a spectrum. It tends to be an attention thing, that we're not engaging fully with the environment around us. Some psychologists think of it in terms of a mix of emotion and cognitive components. Some psychologists focus just on the emotion. So at the kind of more clinical end, it can be a sign of like burnout or depression if there's a sort of an apathy for things that maybe were interesting to you. Exactly. Mm-hmm. So that can be in a more clinical space, which maybe isn't the realm of what we're talking about today. But actually, you know, there is such a thing nowadays as kind of toxic productivity, whereby we're always on, we're encouraged to be constantly on. And in that situation, for a healthy individual, a little bit of boredom is actually no bad thing.
Yeah, and are some of us sort of predisposed to it more than others? Because as you say, we live in a very, very highly sort of a stimulated world, you know, and parents are like, you know, mommy taxis, daddy taxis, and they're ferrying kids, you know, left, right and centre. And there is this kind of instinct for like a frantic busyness. But are some personalities more disposed to that sort of activity versus maybe being a little bit more passive?
Yeah, there are certainly different personality traits that would underlie people who might have more of a, you know, an intense reaction to not being overly stimulated. So people who like a lot of variety, people who are maybe more extrovert, people who, you know, like that kind of fast pace of life, that those kind of personality traits, they would be tend to get bored more easily than people who are inherently more kind of slow paced and maybe like, you know, a bit of predictability. So it's really about not all activities will be boring for some people. Like something that might bore you might thrill me and vice versa. So it's really around that interplay between who you are in terms of your personality and the environment that you're in, but also how we've been raised a little bit. Like if we're raised in an environment whereby always on is the norm, we actually become addicted to that cortisol, that adrenaline. Because if you think about how our nervous systems evolved over time, you know, millennia ago, we would have had these bursts of cortisol running from, you know, a wolf or whatever. But then you're meant to sort of calm that down and come back to a feeling of homeostasis, what we call ventrovagal state in the nervous system.
It's
research.
Regulation and dysregulation.
Exactly. Yeah. It's that kind of fight or flight coming back to being able to be calm. And what we find, what I see in clients more and more, and even sometimes in my own kids, some people don't know how at times to be calm. We've lost that ability. We feel that we need to be productive all the time to be valuable members of society. And it's not to shame anyone, but that's somehow that's an insidious.
Yeah. And look, you hear particularly from, you know, parents or caregivers, and particularly those who are working full time or even part time, you know, in the workforce, you know, and that's obviously the norm for a lot of families now. And there's maybe a sense of guilt that tries maybe even at weekends or at other times to try and fill in every minute of a child's day outside of school. There's a sense that you need to be doing that, or otherwise you're not serving them right.
Yeah, exactly. And I think, again, it's become normalised. That's what everybody else is doing. So therefore, this must be the way to do it. And you want to spend, in inverted commas, quality time. You know, you're investing in them. And so there can be a lot of pressures. I think certainly in the summer, that scheduling kids can be very often a childcare thing if you're a two-parent working family, as you say, most families are now. So I think we have to maybe take the pressure off a little bit. And actually, kids need to chill out as much as adults do. And having time where we're not scheduled, having time where we can calm the nervous system, where we can shoot the breeze, where we can try and figure out, well, what would you like to do today? There's no agenda. What might be fun? What's the weather doing? That's really good for us in ourselves and as well as our relationships.
And maybe it might have been different for, because, you know, when you and I were growing up, there weren't screens to distract us. So, like, I mean, you know, often when you're a child, you do remember those days when you were, and I'm doing sort of bored in inverted commas here, but actually those could be quite creative times because you're being creative, you're doing art or you're doing something else.
Exactly, you're going playing fantasy games with your friends out in the green or whatever it was. And actually we're not really serving our kids when we're saying, when my kids say I'm bored, I'll say good, and you know, they don't like that. but you know, it actually, if you jump in and rescue them, you're not affording them the opportunity to solve this, again, problem in inverted commas, themselves, to come up with novel ideas, to try and figure things out themselves. And actually there's research emerging now that shows that all the swiping, you know, on YouTube and everything, they feel like it's alleviating boredom, but actually it's creating boredom. And there was even a study done over COVID whereby a researcher, a psychologist in the States, found that 67% of men and I think 25% of women were given the chance to be bored and daydream or give themselves an electric shock, chose the electric shock. So people are really nearly scared to have this downtime, to have this white space, but it's incredibly necessary.
What about, you know, because obviously you're doing a lot of work in the workplace and looking at that. And, you know, look, I mean, you see these constant reports, particularly at a European level, about the need to increase productivity and all of that. And you mentioned earlier that that there can be such a thing as toxic as well as positive productivity. So what does that look like, a positive form of productivity with a sense of stillness or rest, or whether you call it boredom or rest and reset, whatever it is?
Well, I think, you know, the ideal is that we're all doing work that maybe stimulates us and excites us. Now, some people want a job.
Not for everyone.
Yeah, some people want a job. They just come in, they're there for the money, and then maybe they have hobbies and a more holistic life that they get that satisfaction someplace else, and that's perfectly fine. Other people, of course, want to have a career and they get that stimulation in work. And again, what you don't want to do is overdo it and get all your stimulation from work and you've nothing left then for family and hobbies. But what I would say to people, and certainly within organisations, create pockets, create white space in your diary. Be able to have time where you're, you know, time between meetings, time between tasks that you're doing, just even little pockets, tiny little pockets, just allowing that nervous system to reset. The more frequently you can do that during the day, the more likely you are to sleep at night.
Yeah.
And yeah, and you're more productive. But all this hopping around and constantly being frenetic, you're actually, you know, too much of that, and we know that leads to burnout.
Yeah, so what sort of strategies can you put in place to get comfort with perhaps that discomfort, for some, not for all? Some people are quite happy letting their nervous system regulate as much as possible. But are there strategies for embracing that in this sort of quite stimulated world?
Yeah, well, what I work a lot of the time with my clients who find this difficult is try and have a morning ritual. I hate routines. Some people like a routine, but that's just something that's not kind of hitting the gym straight away, but something maybe in morning pages, maybe some breathing, maybe some stretching, something that's lowering the cortisol pre-picking up your phone, and try and have, even if that's 5 or 10 minutes, and something similar in the evening, like legs up the wall is really good, journaling. These things all really naturally bring down your cortisol and your adrenaline. And then trying to just have little pockets during the day. It could be, you know, a walk at lunchtime instead of going for that run. You know, it could be taking 3 breaths and feeling your feet in the ground between meetings. It could be phoning a friend that, you know, makes you laugh. Just really trying to consciously, you know, sometimes we have to put it in our diaries to remind ourselves.
But do employers, Leisha, see the value in that? Because you say there's sort of a bit of a paradox by, you know, that by being really intense all the time doesn't necessarily increase productivity.
Yeah.
Do they see the value in recognising that people cannot be on all the time?
It's increasing. It's increasing. And it depends on the industry and the firm. But certainly the generations coming behind you and I are not interested in these mad, you know, working hours. They want to join firms and organisations that have sustainable and well-being policies and actually walk that talk as opposed to just window dressing them. So yeah, they are seeing the value in it. You know, and well-being can't just be the yoga at lunchtime, although you'll see a lot of that. It has to be about giving people realistic volumes of work to complete in a realistic time. We can have short bursts, of course, where there's a deadline and you have to go hell for leather. That's grand, no problem with that. But when that becomes the norm, then we're into increasing difficulty.
When is boredom problematic? Is it when it's connected to a disconnect?
Yeah, that, I mean, that's a great question. Yeah, if it's a real disconnect or if it's something whereby you used to be really engaged in this and actually now, along with a host of other symptoms, like finding it difficult to get out of bed, you know, loss of appetite, those, you know, kind of it veering into the kind of clinical space. At other times, it can be information. You know what? Actually, I've moved on from this. And this is, you know, if you look at it like pain, there's a function of pain. Take your hand out of the fire. It's not good for you. Sometimes it can be a stimulus to say, maybe I want to rearrange, you know, my life or what I'm doing here or who I'm hanging around with or whatever it is. So if we can reframe it in a positive way for when it's, you know, within a healthy population, it can really be a stimulus for positive
boredom
change.
Can be your friend. Anna, one of our listeners says, for my kids, when they are bored, our response is, boredom is the first step before a really good idea. And we leave them alone. For a workplace, yes, boredom can be seen as anxiety inducing, but a mentor of mine actually suggested for me to schedule an hour every Friday for reflection and close out. And that is from Anna. Leisha Redden-McGrath, thank you very, very much for joining us today. There was nothing boring about that conversation. We're going to take a quick break.
Email brendan@rte.ie.